Welcome to the Atom Podcast. I'm here with Matt Borker.
Hey guys, what's going on?
So Matt is a digital marketing expert. I guess that's probably the way you describe yourself.
Yeah, probably. That's the best way to put it.
All right, cool. So we're going to just talk about digital marketing. I don't believe we've done a podcast specifically on digital marketing. So this is going to be a good one for those who are starting up businesses or got current businesses that are running and need a digital marketing strategy. So Matt, tell us a little bit about yourself, your background, where you come from, what you're doing.
Cool. So I am from Eastern Europe. I'm Hungarian. Don't be fooled by the accent or with the accent. I came over to the UK 4 years ago knowing nothing about digital marketing. However,
so you had no formal training in Hungary?
No. I have a degree in English. I learned about linguistics and Romeo and Juliet back in Hungary. However, I didn't want to be in academia. I felt like that wasn't my thing. So what I did was I was reading this blog and it's actually called sellyoursoul.com. I found this article and the guy said, you know what? People with humanities degrees can be really good at marketing because they understand people. And I always liked computers. I was the guy who always went over to others' houses and, hey, could you please fix this, Matt, because it's broken. So I got into digital marketing about 4 years ago. I started working on smaller projects on the side initially. I did some social media management for companies. I worked with businesses from the construction industry, education, gyms, restaurants. So a couple of businesses here and there. And yeah, I just find the industry fascinating. I think there's a lot of opportunities.
So you're working at the Google Digital Garage at the moment?
Yes, currently I'm a digital skills coaching trainer at the Google Digital Garage.
Yeah, so yeah. I went past that the other day and I was my first question was, what is a digital garage?
Okay. And,
what is a digital
garage? Okay, so the Google Digital Garage, in a nutshell, is a place where anyone can get free training, which is amazing. We help small businesses to grow, to be a little bit more savvy when they're online. So we help people to understand digital advertising, social media marketing, how to utilize search and also social to maximize sales and also to raise brand awareness.
So I guess a lot of the companies come in, they don't really have any idea about what they're doing on the social media, or do some of them actually have a presence and they're trying to refine that? Or...
So it's always a mix. What I've seen was you get people who are from marketing agencies or PR agencies, but they're trying to keep themselves up to date with what's going on in the industry at the moment. Or you get people who are small business owners and they might not know a lot about digital marketing, but they're trying to get into it, or they like to learn a little bit more about it.
All right, cool. So you're part of the Entrepreneur Social Club, right? So
exactly.
That's how we met. And one of the things that we discussed there was, does every company need a website?
So this is a really, really interesting one. And I'm really fascinated by like how there's this conversation around websites in 2019. Everyone says that you need to have a website. You need to have a website. You gotta have a website. If you have a business, you need to have a website. And then we don't realize that people, even though they do go to websites, they find it much easier to consume information elsewhere.
True.
Or if they want to get information, they're not going to go to your website. So,
which is very counterintuitive, really, when you think about it.
It is really counterintuitive. But, what I teach businesses is that, cool, so you want to tell something to someone. So let's just play this out. You got two Starbuckses, right? They got the different stores, right? But they both sell coffee. And then one of them says, you know what? We don't sell coffee here, but But like, you got all the signs and everything. No, go over to the other one. We're driving people to the other Starbucks. I don't care if you want to get coffee. That is what people are doing with their websites. You can say the same thing on social media, sometimes on search as well. And what we do is we try to drive people to websites. And listen, don't get me wrong. If you sell anything on your website, go and drive traffic on your website. But what I'm seeing is a lot of times, especially small business owners have a website, which is basically there to give information about the services, who's working for the company, and things of that nature. So in that case, why do we want to drive people there? So, you know, in every single case.
Right, I see what you're saying now, because I'm lost with that analogy. But I guess what you're saying here is that if the website's not actually doing anything or converting someone, then what's the point in it?
Exactly. But then, you know, it all depends on what a business's goals are. Is it increasing traffic on the website to drive sales? Or we're trying to get the message out there that we exist.
Sure, I guess some of it is also around brand awareness, in the sense that if you look at Atom Ventures, we don't necessarily do any sales through the website, but if you're talking to someone, they want to look you up, that's the way for them to look us up and find out the different services that we offer. So it's not necessarily a sales, well, it's a sales tool, but it's not a sales driver, if you know what I mean. So it would be something where you're there, people feel a bit more reassured that there's a presence out there and we're telling
120%. But, you know, a lot of times we need to think about like how we're trying to convert people. Because yes, a website is going to be important if you're trying to give way more information. But to introduce the business, social media and search can totally help you with that.
So one of the biggest issues with let's say Facebook advertising, LinkedIn advertising, Twitter, whatever, it's expensive. And it's very difficult to get the right formula straight up, so you need to have a lot of money up front in order to test things out, right? And for small businesses, that's not, or even startups, that's not a go. I mean, a lot of companies are, you know, you'll spend as much on marketing as on tech, or maybe twice as much on marketing as on tech, and that's kind of unsustainable in the long run. Especially, you know, we found in previous businesses where, you know, the cost of generating a single lead was £65, right? If you put all of that together and you think, let's say, what was it, 10 leads is £650, actually that's the same as me getting tickets to events or going to a certain place where I know the businesses will be, and trying to sell to 50 companies there rather than trying to wait for 10 to come in. So, you know, how do you as a small business know A, which channel to test on, B, how much you should be spending, you know, and C, whether it's actually producing the returns, right?
So you need to go to the one that is the cheapest, but also at the same time drives the most results. So the problem with LinkedIn advertising is that you're right, it is expensive, but then it all goes back to what your products are and what you offer, right? Because if you're trying to sell clothes, right, your profit margin is not going to be wide enough for you to afford LinkedIn ads. That's why you're never going to go to LinkedIn.
Also, the audience is probably not the right.
But also, the audience is not going to be right for LinkedIn either. So what I teach businesses is that you need to find a way to keep advertising costs really, really low, but you need to experiment, right? Because at the end of the day, like even before we had digital, we had to advertise. We had to.
Sure.
But it was much more expensive.
Yeah, so but even then, how do you keep the costs low? I mean, you know, again, when we were looking at advertising for one of the previous companies, and you see some of the keywords on Google are horrendous, right? £8 or £20 up to sometimes even £30-40. Now, you can't experiment too much with that because it's going to get, you know, 5 clicks and you're spending a ton of money.
Exactly.
So how do you keep those costs low? I mean, what were the techniques there?
So to my understanding at the moment in 2019, compared to, so like if you compare Facebook ads, Google ads, and LinkedIn ads, Facebook ads are the cheapest, right? So what I teach businesses is that try with Facebook ads, see what you can do there, try to learn what an advertising platform is like. Test different things. Like even if you spend £100 on ads, right? If you have a business that is, you know, giving you the money to do that, you need to spend at least that amount in order to see like what you can do on the platform. And you're quite right. Like, what happens is advertising, especially when it's working, is getting more and more expensive. I mean, Google Ads used to be cheaper, much cheaper in the early 2000s. But because, you know, it's all about supply and demand. More people want to use it, therefore they became more expensive, right? Facebook is at a point where they started to become more expensive, but they're still much cheaper than the others. And that's why it's more beneficial to test with Facebook. Yeah. So yeah, you need to make sure that you can test with Facebook, and if you see that if advertising is working there, you can go and do advertising on other platforms as well. But then, you know, also it always goes back to understanding, like, what is your audience like, right? Are they searching for your products? Because if they're searching for your products, it's a much better idea to use Google Ads, right? And try to go for it. Because at the end of the day, both the Google and Facebook advertising platforms are based on a bidding system, right? So it's all about making sure that you bid for the right thing.
Yes, what was interesting in one of the companies I was at, the CTO of, is that they only had a single channel social media strategy. So they only, pretty much it was 100% Facebook. They started doing Instagram, but Instagram was a little bit more on the back burner. So they pushed Facebook very hard. And what they found out that very effective, simply because the social media marketing team was focused on one thing rather than trying to focus on five different things.
100%. So when, you know, Twitter came along and Facebook started to become popular among marketers, we started to use every single platform. But if we really think about it, what we're doing is we're wasting our resources. We don't have to be everywhere. Because, like, if you really think about it from our customers' point of view, they're not going to spend the same amount of time on each and every app. They just don't.
True. So one of the points, I was at an event yesterday, and one of the points that was raised there was that the cost of social media marketing is very high. Cost per acquisition is high for a number of different channels, right, on social media marketing. And many of the B2C companies that would be more effective in trying to build the social, not social networks, but personal networks. So essentially, building a product or having something where the product or the service itself becomes part of your daily fabric, daily life, and where your users become the self-promoters, the promoters for your business themselves, right? Whereas, you know, they say, if they're having a conversation and saying, oh yes, I need to search for a flight, oh, I'm going to use Skyscanner, right? Yeah. And someone else recommends it, and then you get that social kudos for using it, someone else liking it. That's so the kind of the crux of that conversation was that really, you shouldn't necessarily be concentrating on that social media aspect. You should be concentrating on the social value of
product service. 120%. So word of mouth can be done on social media, because social media is the closest digital version of how we communicate on a day-to-day basis. Hey, can you recommend me a business? Yeah, of course, I'm going to mention in the comment. That's what people do. So sometimes we don't think about social media marketing as a word of mouth opportunity. We treat it as advertisement or an advertising platform or PR. Now, if you jump into the conversations on social media, and it doesn't matter whether you should, you know, focus on LinkedIn or Facebook, having an engagement with people is the key to A, retain customers, B, to get new ones. And I genuinely don't believe that there are enough businesses doing this? Because everyone says that, oh yeah, we're busy. But then probably you got most of your clients because of word of mouth. But you can do that word of mouth like 3 times more efficiently on social media. So why don't you want to spend time on doing that on social media?
So what are the common mistakes you're seeing with businesses that come to you?
So I'm not going to name the company. It was a business in construction, and they had a Facebook, and like customers can use social media in the weirdest ways. This person asked for a quote in the comments, and then the company didn't reply. And they lost a probably 20,000 pound deal because they didn't respond.
Right.
That's 20,000 pound out of the window because they didn't have time to reply to a comment.
So what they're not doing is not keeping on top of...
They're not keeping on top of, you know, like what's going on their social media channels because they're too busy running the business. But then we wouldn't ignore a customer if he or she walked through our shop store, right? Not going to, oh, I'm so busy working on things, ma'am. I'm really sorry. Like, that's what we need to understand. Social media is not different from any other human interaction or communication. We just do it online.
So what do you think about the power of video?
Video. Video is really, really interesting because it doesn't matter which industry you're in, there's an opportunity. Content is the way to establish a long-lasting presence in any industry. And people like consuming videos because it's easier to do that than sometimes reading a long article because you might be tired after work, but you're still interested in work, but not enough to read a 10-page long article. And video is very much in depth, right? Like if you're a company, you know, you can talk about your services, but also I would also like to highlight the fact that what if you don't talk about your services, but you talk about something that is related to your services. Technically, what you're doing is you're creating content that is going to be entertaining or informational for the people who might buy from you.
So you're not direct selling. You're just basically saying that.
You're just saying, hey, I'm this company and I'm here.
And if you want to buy from me, come and have a look.
You don't even have to say it.
No, true.
Because, hi, I am ABC Company. We provide data solutions. And they can check that information on LinkedIn or on Twitter or on Facebook. But the reason why they're going to do that is, oh, that guy was actually really interesting. I would like to learn a little bit more about him.
So another conversation that came up yesterday was around viral marketing and the fact that probably no one really understands what it means. So what do you think of viral marketing?
So viral marketing is a really interesting one, right? Because when people think about viral, they think that there's like a secret sauce. Mm. There's something that they can sometimes replicate. And sometimes it can happen. However, there's no real way to know what's going to pop. There's no real way to know it. And there are studies around this, right? Like there's people who wrote books about this. And for example, I don't know if you guys heard about the egg photo on Instagram.
No, I haven't.
No. Okay, so we all know who Kylie Jenner is.
Yeah.
Massive social influencer. And one of her photos was the most liked photo on Instagram. And there was this person who said, you know what? I'm going to beat that. And he posted, he or she posted a photo of an egg on a white background. And he let everyone know that he is trying to go after the, you know, Kylie Jenner's photo, like he or she was trying to beat that photo in terms of likes. And he managed to do it. Why? Because it went viral, because people thought it was a challenge, and then people started sharing it. It's a photo of an egg. Like, you cannot really predict that.
Mm.
It was the, like, someone could have done this 3 years ago, 4 years ago. I don't know when Kylie, that photo was posted. But, I mean, this could have been done by anyone. And this person had the idea, and then he did something like this.
Actually, one of the my favorite, not necessarily marketing, but failed kind of community stories is with a guy who had a pencil and wanted to buy a house and then traded up.
Yep.
I think it was a pencil. Yeah, it was something anyway. And he wanted to get a house and eventually got a house somewhere in the middle of the Midwest of the US. But basically traded up from a pencil to something else, what people want, and eventually got a house out of it, which I thought was quite cool. But yeah, again, those stories are very rare, right? They don't happen every day.
So in a way, if there's any form of secret sauce, it's great storytelling.
True. And I think that's the secret for any business, right? Even if you're looking exactly. for investors, you need to be able to tell a story as to why should people even listen to you, right?
You need to give something to people to care about.
Oh, cool. So what is your... Because the Google Digital Garage is temporary, right?
Yes.
So what's your future then after this?
So after the garage, I'm going to be doing consultancy full-time. I'm going to give advice to businesses on digital marketing and branding, so how to optimize their sales, how to create more business, how to network with people on social media, and how to create digital marketing strategies around what they're selling.
Okay, cool. Actually, one question I forgot to ask, which I was going to ask, was around offline marketing. So what a... Someone on a previous podcast with another chief marketing officer,
yeah.
trying to get out. He mentioned that he's on some businesses they've had a lot of success on sending out actual physical items. So whether it's letters or whether it's brochures or whatever it is, because people aren't expecting that anymore. And even in some ways, guerrilla marketing, which is an offline piece of marketing, right, has been quite successful in certain cases, maybe more successful a few years back than it is so now, but still, it's there. I mean, what's your opinion on those?
So, it all goes back to how much money you have at the end of the day, right? Because it's more expensive to send letters to people.
Sure.
However, trying new things never hurts. But then, overall, if we keep doing that, what we can find is we might start wasting money, if that makes sense, or not spending money on the right things. However, if we really, really think about how marketing works in an offline environment, we all go to networking events. Sometimes business owners like speaking at events. That's offline marketing.
Sure, but a lot of people are very scared of networking, right? They don't know how to go about a room full of people that are already standing there talking to each other. How do you go back and how do you go in and start talking to a person and start breaking into conversations, you know? And so is that part of the things that you help businesses with?
I don't help businesses to network offline, but I have a massive piece of advice for everyone who is listening. Try not to interrupt the conversations. Try to join the conversations. Because, you know, when you're at a networking event, sometimes you feel a bit nervous because there's a lot of people, you don't really know anyone. And sometimes all you need to do is just listen. And then when the other people there see that you're trying to interact, they're going to give you the opportunity, or even better, they're going to ask you, so what do you do?
Yeah, you know, I mean, I attend a lot of networking events, and I think that is... You're right, it's a very simple thing to do, especially when you come in late and everyone's in groups huddling exactly. and talking to each other. It kind of can be a bit intimidating, so you know, you grab a drink and then just stand around and find someone that you can stand next to without looking bit too weird, right?
Yeah, absolutely. Because, you know, like sometimes you got different people at networking events, right? Like you get people who are very much into a conversation. And sometimes you don't want to disturb that. Why? What if you're going to benefit from that conversation? And once they finish it, they might ask you, okay, so why are you here? Oh, I'm actually a bit late, but I actually really enjoyed listening to your conversation. Oh, that thank you very much. That's real nice to hear.
Cool. So if, obviously, you went from humanities into marketing, if someone was thinking about taking this journey into the world of marketing and getting into digital marketing, what advice would you give them?
I would say understand the market and try not to listen to every single thing that other marketers say. Why? Because marketing changes really fast.
So that's a good point there. So in the marketing world, are there any kind of sources of information or people that you look up to or listen to or podcasts, other podcasts that you follow?
Oh, sure. 120%. I'm a massive fan of Gary Vaynerchuk. He has a podcast called The Gary Vee Audio Experience. I really like listening to him. I also like listening to Buffer's podcast, which is about social media marketing. They release episodes every Monday. I also listen to, every now and again, Social Media Examiner, which is a podcast run by a guy called Mike Stelzner, and I'm really hoping that I didn't mispronounce his name. And I also listen to Perpetual Traffic, which is about Facebook ads.
Oh, cool. So actually, one of the last things we should talk about is, how do we commercialize this podcast?
Okay, okay.
That was one of the conversations we had the other day as well, actually.
So, commercializing podcasts. The best way to do that, like, we need to think about how we can achieve that if we take a different approach. Yes, you can get sponsorships or sponsors. I heard a lot of podcasts where, you know, hi, so our sponsor today is Squarespace. Have you guys heard about Squarespace? Squarespace, you know what I mean? Like, sometimes you do that and you get a discount code. Other times, you could interview other people. And now, what you're getting from that is not necessarily money, but if you have, for example, I don't know, a Gary Vaynerchuk on your podcast, what you're doing is you're introducing yourself to that person's audience and vice versa. So it's actually, what you're getting is networking. But yet again, going back to the idea of how to network in a digital environment, that's another way to do it.
Right, okay, yeah, cool. No, I think definitely with this podcast, it's always been very interesting to well, there are lots of very interesting people I've talked to, but also to see how the network effect works. And it does work quite in a very strong way when you're publishing this out, and you can see actually the strength of other people's networks because of the number of people who are listening to each of the podcasts. So, yeah, that's very interesting. So if you could go, well, the last question I usually ask people on the podcast is, if you go back in time 20 years and talk to your younger self, but, you know, you go back 20 years, you're still in the nappies, right?
I'm going to be really, really...
Yeah, go back to the person who started university and did obviously the English degree, what advice would you give yourself back then?
Okay, so this is a really interesting one. I would tell myself not to worry and also to just keep doing what you've been doing so far, because you'll see that it will become something bigger than yourself.
Cool. Excellent. Well, thanks for that, Matt. It's been a pleasure talking to you.
Yeah, you're welcome. Cheers. Thanks a lot.